Welcome to Pick 3 Podcast. I'm your host, John. Today is Wednesday, May the 1st. It's Derby Week. Pat, how are we feeling?
Buddy, we've made it. It kind of feels like 4th of July with the weather, but...
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's Derby Week.
So, what are we thinking weather for this weekend? I saw rain Friday and possibly better Saturday now.
So, I was kind of thinking, like, we're going to be fine Saturday from what I saw. I think I saw 30, 40.
Yeah.
I need to go look now.
Can you
pull it up?
Well, people keep saying like that it's going to be a muddy derby, but every time I pull up my weather app,
it's
not going to.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
So I don't know if it's just people not knowing what they're talking about.
I can't pull up the weather now for some reason, but I saw like a 30-40%
chance. So on Friday, we are 88% chance of rain.
So Friday, we're getting the rain.
Saturday, 40%. So
that's probably morning showers. It's probably for the 40%
leftovers from the night before.
So you think they're probably on a dry track by the afternoon anyway?
I'd say so. It says warmer and some sun, a possible thunderstorm in spots in the afternoon. So and we'll see.
I handicapped it as if it was going to be a dry fast track.
Me too. And I mean, let's just be honest. I don't feel good about my handicapping at all.
Hey, if it gets muddy, I'll just put the 1 and the 20 in.
There you go. Okay.
Just the curling lines and go from there.
Just go. But it is a big week. Have you noticed that like Kentucky Derby week is always interesting to me because being from here, we're really anywhere. It's the biggest spotlight on the sport, right? And what cracks me up about it is that everybody becomes an expert.
Oh,
Kentucky
yeah.
Derby weekend. Yeah. And it's really pretty funny.
Yes.
Right. Especially around here, it's like a lot of people that never watch horse racing, but once a year, all of a sudden are horse racing experts. And they'll say like, hey, this is the little tidbit that they heard on the radio or something. And they're like, hey.
This horse?
This is the one, right?
Well, that one's scratched.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
And the reason I bring that up is like, this week, like when calling clients and stuff, I'll just casually be like, who you like in the race this weekend? Like, we'll be talking about whatever, you know, you just make small talk and stuff. And they'll throw out some horse and some reasoning. And I'm just like, yeah. And then you don't know what you're talking about.
It's the this isn't really in the, it is kind of just the casual combo that you overhear at the racetrack.
Yeah.
Last week, closing out Keeneland, I went Wednesday and Thursday. I think it was Thursday. At the saddling paddock,
right,
getting ready for the next race, looking at the horses like I always do. And there's two women next to me. I'm not really paying, they're there. I'm not paying attention to them. I haven't even looked, couldn't even tell you what they look like. And I hear one of them tell the other woman, I wonder if Bob McAfee is going to be here. And she said, who's Bob McAfee? She said, the trainer in the Kentucky Derby who got caught cheating a couple years ago.
McAfee.
Yeah. And the other lady goes, what? I've never heard of this. Yeah. And she said, oh, you haven't heard of this? He's banned for like 5 years. Yeah. And it was one of those that I wanted to text you and Clayton in the moment, but I knew if I texted you, it wouldn't come through properly.
Yeah.
But that's what we've got this week as far as those are the types.
I love it because like it is, I don't know, it's fun. And here's the thing, I don't know what I'm talking about either. I think I have a little bit more of an educated guess.
You would know it's Baffert, not McAfee at least.
But like it's just – but sometimes like you also like – don't know what noise to believe, right? Well, what if they do know what they're talking about?
I put a lot of stock in it, the friend's wife or your own wife or girlfriend, or whatever, who just comes in and says number 7 and just says it was a conviction.
Oh, yeah,
you're just like, man, I like the lady who told me about the birds that year that mine that bird won.
Like, it's like, oh, they got no chance.
Yeah, she said they had no chance.
Right.
On the flip side, the people who are like these, like those are the ones who I feel like they just. Right. Like, they're going to smoke, like, I don't know, man. They're going to smoke anything I could ever do, spend all week trying.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So, like, you and I have been texting during the week, and I am kind of under the impression that this field is not the best. It's not the most talent we've ever had. People keep talking. I went to dinner with a group of people last Saturday, and one of my buddies said, who do you like outside of the big four? And it took me a second. I was like, who are the big four? Because, like, I know Fierceness, Sierra Leone, and Catching Freedom. I was like, who's the fourth one? And I was like, is it Forever Young? But, like, Forever Young's 11-1.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. And he, I didn't ask him, and I should have. And maybe he might have even said yes or no, it's Forever Young. He might have told me that. So he had obviously heard somebody say the big four. But like, to me, I'm like, those four to me aren't that much better than everybody else.
No, fierceness has shown us things to worry about.
Right. So, and I told you this before we started recording, and this is purely my opinion. In my mind, the best versions of Fierceness and Forever Young win this race. One of those two, the best versions of them. Mm-hmm. We might not get the best version of either one of them. People love Sierra Leone. Let me throw some cold water on that. I just don't believe in dirt closers. And we've had them 2 years in a row. And
statistically, we should not get that this year.
And I want people to understand how hard it is to win from back there. Like, go back and watch Rich Strike, okay? And watch how crazy of a ride that was by Sonny Leone. First of all, you got to be a little bit of a psycho to take the route that he did, right?
Yeah.
Because horses are coming backwards.
Yeah, they're slowing down. Yeah, they're backing up on you. You're
having bob and weave and navigate and stuff like that. Like, that does not happen all the time. Like, that's a rarity, right?
Yeah.
So, like, just take that little nugget and see how crazy that was. And then last year, like, that speed, would they open up at 22-2 in the opening quarter of a mile and a quarter race? Like, well, the whole front, could that happen again? Absolutely. And if that's the case, then bombs will, I mean, you might get.
Yeah, if they go 45 and a half mile, closers are coming.
Oh, yeah.
If they go 46, they probably aren't.
Probably not. And so I just, and Mage wasn't a deep closer last year. He was well off the pace, but he wasn't last place to first place type of closer.
Yeah.
Well, and to that put that Angel of Empire, I mean, still got up and got
he
third
got up
because the pace fell apart.
And you know what? Like you said it. We watch 12 horses and watch a closer try to get through 12.
Yeah,
add eight more, and then some of these closers too. They have one run in them. They may have to go wide. I'm not saying that's Sierra Leone. I'm just saying, you know, Senor Buscador is like that. He's got one path to winning. He has to swing wide and just catch you.
Yeah,
like. That's true for a lot of them. And you try to do that 20 horse, it's just there's a lot of ground to make up.
You're depending on so much to happen
if you're gonna, race. If you stay inside, you got to be lucky. It's got to open up for you like it did for – it didn't really open for Sonny. He created that path.
He created
it. Mind that bird at open four, but even getting through the rail was very tight.
Right.
And look, that horse was so far back. That's a different a different example. I'm with you. I handicapped it that where the winner comes from the front third.
Right.
And who's that going to be? We'll discuss. But
and I want to encourage people, if you are planning on like actually, I mean, a lot of people out there are going to, you know, throw a couple bucks on the race and just have fun with it. And if that's your prerogative, that's absolutely what you should do. But if you really want to like kind of try to figure this thing out, pay attention to Friday and Saturday during the day and see how things are trending, because I think that makes all the difference in the world.
It does.
And how the track is running is such a big deal that's overlooked a lot.
Watch those first four or five races Saturday. Yeah, just pay attention to what.
Well, and I'll tell you this. Last year, we were in French Lick for our buddy Fran's bachelor party. And I'll never forget that after the card was over on Friday for Oaks, I saw one of the talking heads put out a tweet and said, and all but one of the dirt races for the day, the winner of the race came from one of the first three spots in the opening quarter. So of course, now that ended up screwing me, Pat, because the next day, just the whole day was completely different. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it might not translate over. It could be different one day than is the other. You know, the tractors go around and they move some dirt around and who knows what happens. But it didn't hold form the next day.
So to that point, you got to watch Saturday regardless. Yeah, you got to watch the first few races. And, you know, I mean, that we know that. We've seen that with other
– look for trends. It'll start early. You'll have plenty of time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and speaking of French Lake, I honestly, you know, there are a handful of days where I tend to get a little carried away when it comes to, like – betting on horses or whatever. It doesn't happen very often. I like to think I'm more disciplined than that. But we were on a bachelor party. If you remember, while the Saturday was going, we were actually playing golf. I was more riding in a golf cart because I had a hurt back. And I'm just firing away on my phone at bets. And Pat, I honestly, I think it was the worst gambling day of my entire life. I actually do think it was the worst gambling.
So you,
I think I hit one ticket that day out of, I mean, and I wouldn't even be able to venture a guess how many tickets that was out of. And the only ticket I hit was a pick three at Belmont.
So
it didn't cash one at Churchill.
And would your pick three pay?
Like $220.
So it was a good pick
three. It was a pretty good pick three,
John.
But Pat, you know,
it was a good pick three.
It still felt like I was.
Did you lose money that day?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I definitely did.
I mean, it's Derby. You're going to be betting heavy.
Right. And that was the thing is like, and I will say this also, I went into that day because I had actually my Keeneland Select account. I had some money in there and it was one money. So like, I didn't feel bad about losing it. But I lost it. And like.
So what you're saying is you don't want to go to French Lake this Saturday. No, play around no, no, the golf. No.
Well, and here's the thing. It's like this Saturday, I don't have plans like that. Like I'm going to be home for the majority of the day. So I'm not going to be sitting there just like, you know, trying to figure it out. It's just not going
to
happen.
You can let things come to you in that scenario too.
Right. So
I'll be sitting at home doing the same.
Well, part of it too is like, I think I was like anticipating the Derby so much last year that I was like, you know, it was almost like nerves. It was like nervous gambling, which is not a good way to gamble.
The only American turf saved me last year. I didn't do good in the Derby. I did okay that day because of that race. But other than that, I didn't. But that's also the beauty of it.
Right.
And there are races like that this Saturday.
Now, do you think, and I'm trying to get you to kind of go back in time here. Do you think, like, just your remembering of last year's Derby, like, thinking, like, this is a pretty good field?
So,
prior to the scratches?
No. Okay. No, I did not have, like, I thought Forte was the best horse. Mm-hmm. I didn't think Angel of Empire had any chance for some of the reasons we talked about. I think there were certainly horses I probably didn't give credit to that I needed to. I never overly felt like it was strong. I was obviously so big on Practical Move, but I never felt like it was like an overly strong. I feel like there was like some real, I feel like there was five or six really strong horses.
Yeah.
But the sad part, I did this last night. I went back in my notes, which I keep all those notes.
Right.
Counted the horses that are, and I know I've said it a couple times on here, but I actually went and counted the horses that are still running.
Yeah.
I think I counted six or seven.
That's crazy. That's a shame.
And King's Barnes is probably the one horse that I looked at handicapping that race that has been exactly what I thought he was.
Right.
But he was 4-for-4. Like it wasn't that hard.
Right.
You know, so I don't know, but I probably feel like it was more strong than this year looking at it.
Right.
That's probably the best way for me to answer it.
Yeah.
Did you feel like it was strong?
I think so. It's hard for me to answer now.
Like here's another thing. Yeah, I mean, here's another thing. When we saw Curlin and Street Sense and those that year, I mean, it was a hard spun. I don't think we probably realized how good that group was until after the fact.
You know what horse was supposed to be in that race?
Who?
Wide of Barrio.
Which one? What are you talking about? We talking about the?
Well, that was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. Never which mind. One?
Wide of Barrio was in last year's Derby, wasn't he? Or was supposed to be, and then got scratched because what's his name?
Because
Safi. Yeah, they scratched all of them.
My bad. I was going way back. So yeah.
Was that last year or 2 years ago?
I think it was last year.
Because the reason I bring that up is because that horse ends up switching trainers and winning the Breeders' Cup Classic.
And won the what else did he win? Travers?
It was the Whitney. Yeah. So it was like kind of crazy in that regard. That wasn't a horse that was on anybody's radar.
Well, and you know, we look at this race, you have minimal data to go off of. Mm-hmm. You're trying to project something that you haven't seen from some of these horses too. Right.
Have you seen any storylines this year that are like intriguing to you outside of, I think a great one is you brought it up last week, the endlessly storyline. Yeah. Because I feel like I feel like this trainer is just throwing these owners under the bus big time.
Well,
and he's right. Like
you brought up a great point too, though.
Like, yeah. So Pat sent a video, and if you search for it, you'll find it. But there was a video on FanDuel TV. It's on Twitter of they're interviewing Michael McCarthy, who's the owner of Endlessly. This horse has, I don't think, ever been on dirt.
He's never been on dirt.
Yeah, been on turf and then the all weather. And the trainer's like, the horse isn't a dirt horse. They shouldn't be right. This horse doesn't like the dirt. It's never going to like the dirt. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. And like the lady interviewing him's kind of like, yeah, well, do you think he'll maybe get used? No, he will not get used to it.
The best one's like, you know, if I thought the horse liked dirt, we would have already tried dirt.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just like very blanket statements. And my point to them was like, if I'm the owner, like, you know, owners, the vast majority, now I don't know these owners. I don't know enough about them.
I don't either.
The vast majority of owners that are in this race are like very wealthy people.
Yeah. That's,
and don't like getting their ego hurt or their decision making questioned. And so I'm thinking in the back of my head, I'm like, this guy better be careful.
Well,
they're just going to be like, all right, well, kick rocks. Like, we'll get.
Is that the thing? Like, after the Derby, they're just like, bye, man.
Yeah, maybe.
And by the way, we're putting him back on turf for the rest of his life.
Exactly. And like, part of me sympathizes with the owners because, like, if you've got that once in a lifetime opportunity that you qualified for the Derby, then it's kind of like, why wouldn't
you? Well, look, in defense of them, the horse is 5 for 6.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the horse has run. Yeah. Run. Like, you know, you're right. Yeah. It's a trainer.
A toss. I mean, it's a toss.
I don't think
he's not the type of guy. He's not a Peter Miller that'll tell you the horse sucks and then tell all of his buddies, you bet my horse.
Go bet my horse. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that guy. I don't know Michael McCarthy. He does not come off as that type of person.
He looks like a no BS.
Exactly. Like, and the way he said it was very much like, guys, this is not a dirt horse. And you guys are all idiots for making me put this.
I saw it earlier. I was like, I've never seen someone so sad to be running in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're right. If it's the owner's call, I mean, it's not like you're saying the horse is going to get hurt running on dirt. Yeah. It's just he's saying it has no shot. I'm wasting my time here.
And she was in the interviewer was trying so hard to just kind of like get something out of him. She was like, well, you had Umberto here. Like, was it nice to have him on? Like, yeah, I guess it was fine. Like,
what was the one? Who was the one on the Chad Brown horse that worked way too quick? This like
Ways and Means?
Was it Ways and Means?
Yes.
And he's ready to just punch the dude. He was ready to throw that dude. So under
I
the
talked
bus.
To my dad today, and I'm glad you brought that up because that was going to be my one of my points. So, if you remember last week, we talked about the Oakstraw, and there was a 5-way tie for 3 spots. At 50 points, Ways and Means was and maybe still is my horse. But it's Chad Brown horse, Clairvitch Stables. This horse last week went for a work and like,
boy, she was
running. And I think she ran like a 46.4 furlongs or something like that. And they and the trainers were pissed, like yelling at the.
He said rider error.
Yeah. Because. I mean, well, and if you're wondering why that's a big deal, is that when they run that fast in a workout, it's almost like they've run a race. And that's not what you want a week out from a major race.
Yeah.
Could it still be that this horse is a beast and gets it done? Maybe, yeah. I mean, like,
hey, maybe it's the Dutro program. You blow them out the morning of. And
I'll put it this way, if I'm still going to bet the horse. Because of that kind of news that's come out, that horse is not getting bet at all.
Ways and Means.
Number one, Prime Power has run a couple of super, super impressive races. Here's what I'll tell you, and I'm going to give you the easy head tip of Ways and Means. Now, this was also prior to the Chad Brown stuff.
Okay.
So this was all, but Dad brought up a really good point, and I've done exactly what he told me to. So he goes, all right. He goes, go back and watch Fierceness and the Holy Bull.
Okay.
He says, watch how that went.
With Hades.
Obviously, it fell apart. Fierceness, bad trip. Everything kind of went wrong for that horse. The whole thing blew up. Comes back, runs an absolute monster in the Florida Derby, right? Now, go back and watch Ways and Means race, and it's exactly like the Holy Bull. And it's like, that horse was ready, and they didn't know what to do. Irad kind of butchered the ride. But like at the same time, it was kind of like that horse had been
that horse was
ready. So the races were very similar in how there was a little bit of a failure and how things were executed. I'll put it that way. But then when they figured it out the next go around with fierceness, and it's like, could that be the case with Ways and Means? I'm telling you that prior to this blown workout, there were a lot of people that were saying this horse is really, really good.
So you're saying you're not feeling, because of the workout, you're not feeling too confident.
Not anymore. I'm not gonna lie. Like for the Preakness prior to that news, I was not gonna do anything but place a significant win bet on that horse, and that was it. Now I don't know what I'm gonna do. Probably not that. So in my second choice, I do like Just FYI, which I think is your horse as well.
Yeah, so. It is. But you know, she didn't really go too well last out. But
that's
there.
Okay. So
that's fine.
And all right. So let's talk a little bit. Let's kind of go through some of the Derby horses here. And if you were wanting to listen to this, thinking we were going to BS, it's probably going to be a pretty heavy horse racing episode.
considering
this is a one of the biggest weekends of the year. But we'll just kind of go down the list here. We'll shoot some thoughts on each horse. Tell you if it's a toss. Tell you if it's intriguing. Just kind of a quick opinion on each one. You go with that?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll start here with the first horse, Door Knock. What are your instant reactions on Door Knock?
I like Door Knock. I have found it interesting that more people aren't talking about him, considering he is a full brother to last year's winner.
Right.
I also find it interesting that they have different styles, running styles. Right. Door Knock needs the lead. I think he can get to the lead here. And I'm not just tossing Door Knock. I do basically kind of a keep toss pile. Mm-hmm. The keep doesn't mean I'm betting every one of those horses. It just means these are the horses who I think, and he's in the keep.
Right. One hole sucks, but it's kind of nice that the one hole wants to get out and get the lead, right?
Yes.
Because if he can break well, then he should be able to take that bad post position a little bit out of it. Now, a lot of it's going to depend on that break. I mean, as it is with a lot of these horses. But, like, if that horse breaks significantly well, I think that's going to be the horse that gets the lead.
Gets the lead.
Yeah. I really do believe that. And I don't love the horse. It's not my pick to win the race. But, like, could you put it in a exotic to jump up? It won't jump up, but, you know, stay up and get second or third? Yeah,
sure,
for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's a quality horse. I mean, like, just look, got fourth last time out at the Bluegrass, but got first, second. I mean, there's some strong stuff there. I do want to point out this. If you remember the Fountain of Youth, half that field scratched like right before the race.
Oh, yeah, that was. You're right.
And Door Knock was kind of the last one left standing.
It made it a really crappy race.
It did.
Yeah,
I did. And, I mean, quite frankly, like, you know, again, speed figures aren't everything. But, like, in a race this big, I think you want at least a horse that's capable of more than 94,
94, 98, 95, 86,
86.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. Yep.
All right, moving on. This is a lot of people's pick, especially locally. Sierra Leone. What's your thoughts here?
You know, I don't want to badmouth because it's a very good horse. There's no reason not to like the horse other than it's a closer for me. And it will be included in exotics, but I'm not putting Sierra Leone to win. Will not have a win bet on him. But, you know, I just don't. Again, I handicapped it to come off the front end. So I can't, if I believe that, I can't believe this horse wins.
Where it starts with me is an unfortunate fact that I don't like, but horses don't win the Derby coming off the Bluegrass Stakes.
Yeah, that's a very
it hadn't happened in forever. That streak will end eventually. I don't think it's this year. So until it does, I hate to say this because I'm almost treating it like New York. It's kind of a toss for me as far as the winner goes.
Yeah.
I mean, is it as bad as New York? No, but like you got to win eventually. Yeah. I mean, there's been quality horses come out of that race and they just can't win it. So
there's been some favorites come right out of there. Yeah.
So, I mean, like I mean, last year it was Tappet Trice was the winner and kind of was a no-show. That horse, Tappet Trice last year, if you remember it.
Tappet Trice ran at Canaan last week, by the way.
Did it? I didn't even know that.
It was like Wednesday or Thursday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Tappet Trice, if you remember, ran in, I think, every Triple Crown race.
Yeah.
And got bet down every time and just no-showed.
Yeah.
I think got third maybe in like the Belmont.
Like, was just around where you could, but never, like, to
never threatened.
Yeah.
Never threatened. Never thought you were going to win it. So, but it's just, I don't know. Like, until, again, I want this to change because Keeneland is our home track and we want the best of the best to come from there, but it just doesn't happen. So, all right. Moving on, this is our boy Clayton's pick. Mystic Dan, this is, I mean, we love this combo. This is the Brian Hernandez, Kenny McPink combo, coming out of three hole. What are your thoughts here?
Love the combo. Obviously, would love to see McPink get one. I do not think it happens with Mystic Dan. I mean, the way I see it, John, you can tell me what you think. The horse would have to do what it did in the Southwest, which was a monster in the slop and still do more to win this race.
Right.
And I just don't see that.
I don't either.
Hey, if it gets a sloppy track.
If it gets a sloppy track.
You got to play Mystic Dan.
Yeah.
From absolutely. The Southwest alone. I mean, that's a monster performance.
One by eight lengths.
Yeah.
So, how talented was that field?
Just Still was in there, but it wasn't close. Nobody was close. Liberal Arts was in there. Those are your top three, right? Yep.
Well, and the weird thing about that horse running such a good slop number is that the mud stats on this horse, or mud pedigree on it, isn't like overwhelming. I mean, 12% on the sire and 16% on the
good point.
Damn. I mean, it's those are fine, but like
it's not like,
hey, this the mutter was a mutter, you know. All right, moving on. This is kind of the other version of Sierra Leone, I suppose you would say, the four Catching Freedom. What do you think?
No confidence here. Same reasons. If I'm going to include a closer, it'll be Domestic Product in Sierra Leone. Mm-hmm. Domestic Product, I'll talk about that in a little bit, not to the levels I would Sierra Leone. I just can't. John, again, I said it last year and it backfired on me, but I just can't see it coming. So
here's,
I don't want to say auto tosses like for that reason, but right. It kind of is for me, if I'm being honest.
I mean, it is me too. Now, and to generalize the closers again, and I'm, you know, it's funny, we're sitting here bad mouthing closers and watch everybody come from out of it on Saturday. But like, all right, so just think of it from a practical standpoint, okay? All these horses that won their prep races as closers, okay? They're going shorter distance. Two, there's far less horses in these fields than there's about to be. And three, like they had the ability to go wide and just run everybody down.
Yes.
They might not be able to do that. One, two, going wide and trying to be the best horse at a mile and a quarter is damn hard to do.
Well, and we talked about Catching Freedom after the,
Or you try to rich strike it and bob and weave, which is obviously extremely hard. Sorry, I didn't mean that.
No, you're fine. We talked about after the Louisiana Derby that next week, and we both sat here and I remember you saying, do you have any, would you bet that horse in the Derby? And I said, I don't think so.
No.
And I didn't say no, I don't think, but I didn't think I was. So same.
All right. And it's, you know, that's a Brad Cox Pratt. So I think, I mean, that would indicate to me, this is the one that Brad at least thinks he's got the best chance with.
That's a good point.
So.
Very good point.
Yeah.
And it's 8-1 morning line. I mean, it's getting respect.
Right. All right. Moving on to the 5 Catalytic. Thoughts?
You know, one of my daughters likes this horse. I don't. You know, John, I mean, you look on paper, it's improved every time from a number standpoint. One, it's maiden and then it's finished second. I just, you know, second was the Florida Derby, obviously, but I don't know, man. I don't have any real confidence here is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean.
Not with this field, not with what we've seen. Trying to project that to Saturday, I just can't see it winning.
I mean, the horse has only won its maiden. And we talk again, speed figure wise, 90, 87, 85. Like, those aren't even that good in like a grade three race.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like you got to say, it's one of those scenarios. Now, if the horse had gone 85 and then 102 in its next race and we were sitting on that,
this horse made a big jump.
You got to find, but we're talking 2-point jumps here, 30. Like, that's a good horse.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good horse you want to own.
Now, let me give you the positive spin on this horse. You know it's going to perform better here because the upgrade in jockey from the last race is outstanding. I mean,
does the trainer hurt this horse?
Okay. I am not the Safi Joseph hater that many are.
I'm not either. I just don't think he's that good.
Yeah, probably not. But I mean,
he gets good stock. He does well.
Is he going to win outside of Florida? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know, Julian Leperu was the jockey on the last one, or at the Florida Derby, by the way, if you guys were wondering out there why.
My bad. Yeah, I didn't.
No. All right, moving on. Just Steel. What do you think?
I'm a fan. I have been a fan. Obviously, you got the Scat Daddy line, which anybody knows that. Now, on paper, is this horse good enough? No. What I will tell you is this horse has paid me every time I've bet it, and I've generally bet it in exactas. Okay. It paid me very well for Arkansas Derby. But it, you know, it's got a few races in there, right? You got the 7th place finish in the Rebel. You've got, where do you got to go back beyond that? The 6th and the Breeders' Futurity as a 2-year-old. Other than that, and I know those are two races that you got to say, well, these are these types of, you know, better fields. I think the horse will run. I've got it in as one of my top four. I'll say that.
I think this horse is one of those horses that you always inevitably see in the Superfecta.
There you go.
Right?
There you go.
It's one of those that, like, is very capable, probably won't win, almost certainly won't win. You never know, but probably would not. But it's in the right place at the right time and goes up and grabs third or fourth.
If that horse can come back and run like he did in the Arkansas Derby, if you could be guaranteed of that, you'd say, well, but you're not guaranteed of that.
Well, here's the thing to think about. That horse might have gotten second by two lengths to a horse that's better than every other horse in this field.
100%. You're right. And we won't know that.
We don't know that.
Muth.
So just think about that. Now, granted, like, that race did kind of fall apart a little bit. I mean, Muth was going to win it regardless. But Timberlake was in that race. Got way too hot too early. So things had to happen.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, I mean, it was a hell of a race. And I mean, again, I mean, I think if Muth is in this race, we're probably talking about a different favorite here. All right. Moving on to the 7, Honor Marie. Thoughts?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about Honor Marie earlier. I kind of feel like I have disrespected this horse probably for my lack of just real knowledge. I have it coming out from the back, not playing it.
I like this horse.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why I said I probably disrespected it, not giving enough credit.
I can't pick it as my horse because of it. It's a closer, but like, this horse has done a lot with a lot of different types of stuff. It's run kind of in every condition. It has done pretty well in all except for a super sloppy track in the Risen Star. But part of me almost likes that better if it's a fast track and it's like, hey, I mean, all right, it's not a if that's its bad race, like, so be it. Like, it's won every race except for the Louisiana Derby, and it got second by a length, right? So on a fast track, working like a champ, ran a 59. Second 5 furlongs. I mean, again, to me, much like Just Steel, this is a horse that inevitably you see that type of horse up there in the top 3 or 4 at the end of the, when it's all said and done.
And that's one that, you know, I mean, at 20-1, see where it goes on the line, but those are the ones that pay you right if they get in there.
All right. The 8 horse, Just a Touch. This might have been part of the big 4. I don't know.
So just to confirm this too, this is Clayton's second. So Mystic Dan and Just a Touch were his love affairs. I'm with him on that. Again, doesn't really have to say much when you see Just in the name. It's probably Justify Scat Daddy. So I'm playing, but I really like this horse. I really do. This is not one that, like, the 6 where I think it's just going to run because it runs. Now we've only got 3 starts, John. Obviously coming out of the Bluegrass, got beat there. Really. I'd have to go back and watch that replay. I know you probably did yesterday, but did Sierra Leone get past him pretty quickly? pretty far before the wire.
Yeah.
Because I was there. I couldn't see the true wire.
I mean, it was a length and a half when it was all said and done. But, I mean, Sierra Leone very convincingly won that race. Yeah.
Yes. So, I like Just a Touch because I do think he's going to be up. He's going to be up front. Mm-hmm. And if Sierra, here's a good example. If Sierra, you play that out again, not that you can, but Sierra Leone can't get there. If he's left standing, I want a piece of that. So I like this eight a lot. One of my top four, like I said, with the six.
If there's a horse, not necessarily by running style, but if there's a horse that reminds me of last year's winner, it's this horse. It's Just a Touch.
Just a Touch.
Lightly raced, got beat by one of the favorites in its prep race. I mean, think about it. Like, Mage had run in the Fountain of Youth, got fourth. That was only its second start. Ran in the Florida Derby, got second. That was his third start. Wins the Kentucky Derby, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, the horse that beat it ended up scratching. So who knows if, you know, if Forte's in the race, maybe that Forte wins the race. I don't know. But that lightly race is not a bad thing is what I'm getting at here.
Sure. Right.
So, sure. And has improved, I mean, ran solid numbers. I like this horse a lot. I think in past years, this might've been my pick. I can't get over the fact that it was in the Bluegrass Stakes. Fair. I hate to say it.
That's that fair. Fair.
I wish it was in Florida, you know, or Arkansas.
Does it not winning the Bluegrass Stakes change your opinion at all? Or is it just the fact that, hey, anybody who's run?
I mean, none of them have, right? I mean, none of the horses that have come from that race have won. It doesn't matter if they won it or not. So, again, I hate for that to be my mindset. But so, I'm just...
No, I mean, it's just
is what it is. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, and a lot of people are going to think, well, that's just kind of chance. That's just what happens. But, like, I mean, there are just very clear things. Like, we know certain things that translate well to other tracks. Like, I mean, and it, like, you know, think about it, like in the spring, traditionally horses that come from Turfway do really well at Keeneland. Like we know that.
Yeah.
Like there's just certain things that do well. And there's certain things that you're like, I don't know. That doesn't seem like it works out very often. And this is something that doesn't seem like it works out very often. So what it is about Keeneland, I don't know. I know there for a long time when Keeneland did the all weather, that was part of the problem.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Dude.
But I mean, obviously that's been gone for years now. So like, that's not an issue, but I mean, it still remains to be true. And I mean, when's the last time a Bluegrass Stakes horse even like ran really well? Like,
I was trying to think, and I would not even come.
And I'm sure there's one. I mean, I'm sure there's
sure.
But, like, I don't know. I mean, it's just,
that's what I was trying to think out loud when you said that in a sense of,
what prep race did Orb run in? And the only reason I bring that up is because that's a Lexington trainer. But I think he was in the Florida Derby.
I think.
So.
That was what, 2014?
Yeah.
I'd have to go look.
So, I mean.
He was a closer.
But. All right. Moving on. We can skip number nine. I like number nine. I'll put it this way. Encino. Encino Scratch. I thought that these connections were awesome. I was like, all right, you got a Brad Cox. You got Godolphin. And then you've got the best young jockey in the game at Axel. I was like, I kind of wanted this horse to make some noise. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was almost like I halfway was cheering for that horse. Not because I particularly like any of them, but it was like, I don't know. It just kind of,
it excited me.
Yeah. Like seeing all that was like, there's something
you,
about,
you
something
had a
about
rooting interest.
Exactly. So, and again, I'm not like a Godolphin fan or a Brad. I mean, not Brad Cox is fine. I've got no issue one way or the other with him, but, anyway, all right, moving on to, or do you have any thoughts about Encino Scratch?
No, you know, he was, that was my wife's pick.
Okay.
That was her pick. So, you know, with her success, that might have been. There you go. He was somebody who I was really, before the scratch, I probably hadn't gotten into the weeds like that.
Right.
After, I think I would have found a way to get him somewhere in my bets.
Yep.
Would have felt like I needed to.
All right. The 10 horse, T.O. Password. This is one of the two Japanese horses.
Yeah. Look, you got two starts here. There's not much to go on. I don't know. This is the least of all the horses I know in here.
Yeah.
I like the 11 so much. I've never considered the 10.
Well,
I'll put it that way.
Well said. This horse Now, you're going to look at this jockey and think, oh, this is a jockey coming over from Japan.
It's not.
It's a California jockey.
Is that the – did he start at Woodbine?
He may have, but he's been out Santa Anita for a while now. And honestly, during the times where Pratt is gone, he's been getting a lot of Baffert's horses. Like, they like him. They like him out there. So don't overlook the fact that it's some jockey you've maybe never heard of. This guy's been over here and has had some success. So I'll just throw that out there. Kazushi Kimura. Kimura, I'm butchering that, but yeah. All right.
I'm going to have to go back and look on Woodbine now, too.
Yeah. I mean, I know he's been in California for maybe.
No, he has.
At least the last 2 years, but prior to that, it could very well have been Woodbine. And maybe he's there other times, too. I have no idea. All right. Forever Young. Here is the kind of Japanese horse. I mean, this is the one. This is this year's version of Derma from last year, where it's like, all right, it's an international horse. We know what we know, but, you know, everything's – how will it translate over to, you know, U.S. racing? Pat, what are your thoughts here?
I'm in, John. I'm in more than any other Japanese I've been in on, and I liked Derma last year. Not as much as Practical Move, but I did like Derma. Look, I know I texted you and Clayton back in February when he won the Saudi Derby that morning, and I just said, like, this horse didn't run, and he won. And then he comes back, he wins in Dubai. And at that point, I was tracking him at that point because all the money was getting in the pools. I hadn't seen a Japan horse take that type of money in the pools. Right. And I thought, man, this horse is sitting like 15-1 in these pools. Right. Like, you know, I think Derma was like 20-25. So that's not, you know, there's a difference there in those pools. So at that point, I'm thinking, like, watch him again. So I watched him in Dubai. And after that, I was like, yeah, man, like this, I think this guy's the real deal.
Right.
So I'm all in. He's my third of my top four that I mentioned.
So last year, the noise in the early months about Derma were very similar for Every Young. The difference is that I felt like when Derma got over here, everybody cooled off on him pretty quick. People still had some, like, kind of hope and thought that, all right, maybe this horse can do something. But, like, by the time the race actually went off, people were kind of off Derma. I don't think that that's the case here. No. I've seen more positive. I've seen
people come to him.
Exactly.
That weren't
there. I've seen more positive than I have seen negative. You mentioned the Saudi Derby. I mean, again, if you're a horse racing fan, go back and watch that race. That horse didn't want to race that day and still won. Like, it was an ugly, ugly, ugly performance.
It's pretty funny. Right. It's like funny because it's just like, dude, like you're just, I guess you're that good to be winning that. Because horse didn't run at all. No. Like probably one of the more obvious, I'm not running.
Yeah. Right. And could that happen? Absolutely.
Sure. That's another thing.
And that's kind of the fear of an international horse coming over. I mean, he's been over here for what, probably a month now? But like, so that those cobwebs should be gone, but you never know. And I mean, just like with all these horses, like you never know how a horse is going to react with, you know, eight more horses in the race than they're used to. So we'll see. All right, moving on to Track Phantom. This is another one that will likely want the lead. What are your thoughts here?
Exactly what you just said. So I think the battle for first is between 1 and 12. They're adding blinkers here, which tells me that they're trying to send them. And see if he can wire maybe a Medina Spirit. Here's the thing. Track Phantom's really fast.
Right.
He'll get out of the gate. He'll rock it. I don't think Track Phantom actually has the distance.
Right.
Like, I think he will look like a cheap horse about halfway down that street. He's not a cheap horse, but I think he'll back up. So I have no confidence. I'm not including him on anything win-wise. I do think it's going to be between him and the one for the pace setter, and I kind of feel like he'll get it.
So, yeah, I mean, in particularly if – I think the break means everything, but with the disadvantage of coming out of that one hole, if Door Knock doesn't break well, then I agree. It's going to be Track Phantom. Now, once again, 2023 John and especially 2022 John would have been all about this horse because it has my boy Joel and Stevie Asmussen on it. I am not nearly as high on Joel as I once was. Asmussen's still a good trainer, but I can't get there with this horse. I just can't.
It's a quality. Look, it's again. Well, I said cheap horse. It's not that at all. It's right. A quality horse. I just don't think it's gonna. There's a wall coming. Mm-hmm. If that horse is on the lead coming down the stretch, there is a wall coming before it gets to the finish line.
How often do you see have we seen a horse just wire the field in the Kentucky Derby?
If it's a Baffert, that's it.
Yeah.
Right? Because they let Baffert get the lead, and then we get Medina Spirit.
Right.
And he's had that with Authentic. And, I feel like that's – did Authentic wire? He didn't wire, did he?
I think he came just off.
Just off. Yeah, Authentic didn't wire. You're right. So, I'm with you. Yeah. I like the horse. I will bet this horse a lot in his career.
Right.
A lot. But I'm not betting Saturday.
West Saratoga, 13. Thoughts?
Not a big fan here, John. Not really a whole lot that I like.
This just is my looking pick at for last place.
Okay. Thank you. I was trying to be nice. Just
we don't have to be nice. We're not friends with these horses.
You're right. I just don't know. You know what I mean? Some of these horses, you feel like, man, I haven't seen enough to just say, but
there's just not really much to go on.
I don't need to see much here. If I get beat by West Saratoga, then I'll say good for Exaggerator and another Curlin. But that's it. That's all I'm gonna say there.
Yeah. 50-1 will probably be twice that on Saturday. If it wins, then I hope you have it. That's all I'll say about that. Number 14, we've talked about this horse already, Endlessly.
Endlessly. I think we both just said it was a toss for us. Clayton told me he was going to bet him. Now, I don't know if he's – that's obviously not one of his top picks, but he did tell me on Sunday that he was like, I'm going to bet Endlessly. He's like,
I guess there's always that chance that you think that the trainer's just trying to pull one over on you or something like that. But, it's not like anything he said has been false. The horse has never run on dirt.
Never run on dirt.
That's a big deal.
Now, again, the horse is 5-6.
Yeah.
It's one loss came in the juvenile turf last year.
Right.
But it's won three grade threes.
Yeah, this horse got – I don't know, man.
I'm sorry, too.
This horse was like Golden Gate. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know, John. If this horse wins, based upon everything that trainer's just said, we've got the biggest.
Part of me wants it to happen.
You almost got to put a dollar on it if it goes up to 90-1 because of his call.
Well, I might end up doing what I did the year that Rich Strike won, and I'll just put $2 to win on every horse over 30-1, I think is what I did, just in case. In that case,
you got all your money back.
It ended up paying for the rest of my tickets. So, you know what I mean? I don't know. I might end up doing that. Domestic product.
15. Here's my guy, still my guy to some degree, I got to say. The speed figures are nothing that you're going to say has a shot here. This is the two fills for me. I know I've said that a lot. I think he's game. He gets IRAD. Good enough to win. I do not believe so, John. I am still going to be including in all my exotics because if he pokes his head in there for second or third, I just see two fills. We'll see.
I love this horse, but I love it in a grade three.
That's probably where
I love it as an undercard horse. These horses are young, but I just want to throw this out there. We've talked about Prime Power in the past and how if a horse is 10 points above a horse, then it's almost a codlock. We're looking at Just a Touch and Fierceness at 148 and this horse at 120, 20 points below. That's very significant. Having said that, the connections here makes you think, well, how in the world is this horse not going to be involved? You got Chad Brown, Klarovich, and IRAD. Any other race, you're thinking, that's going to be the favorite. You know what I mean? So, it's one of those where you almost, feel like you got to include because you're like, I don't know. Maybe they'll find some magic. They do a lot.
Well, and you're right. If the horse just runs, there's something to be said about, we say that a lot on here. I know that. We know what it means. It's a very blanket statement.
Right.
This horse has shown that ability, whether that's been in a competition level that it's not going to be what we're going to see Saturday, But some of those other horses are the same. I don't, I'm with you. I don't, this was a horse who I was like, this is my pick after the whole, and then as time's gone on, I just thought, man, I can't, again, it goes back to the closers right. And I can't, John, but.
All right.
But here's a question for you too, real quick before we move on. Irad rode Fierceness. I don't know what happened there. I don't know if they just decided to go with Johnny V and never turned back. Did Irad have another option in this race? I don't see an obvious one. I don't see an obvious one because my thought was like, hey,
here's what,
has he ever ridden the horse?
That's a good question. Here was my impression with the whole Fierceness thing. I just assumed that Irad rode, who did Irad run in the juvenile? I just assumed that Irad picked another horse in the juvenile. They gave it to Johnny V, and then they weren't going to take it away from him after that.
That's a good question.
I mean, because Johnny, they were, Fierceness was 17-1.
So here we go. So Irad rode in his debut, his maiden. He rode him in the Champagne and finished seventh, and they put Johnny V on him for the.
Well, that's because I think he might have chose another horse in the.
Oh, you're saying he chose.
I'm saying Irad went somewhere else.
He was probably unlocked. I bet he was unlocked.
Maybe, yeah.
I think he was unlocked because he wasn't on Muth.
Well, there you go. So then they probably It was less about they weren't going to take him away. They weren't going to take Fierceness away from Johnny V.
Yeah, you're right.
After him winning, so all right, 16th horse, and then we'll get to Fierceness first. But Grandmo the First, which is a mouthful of a name. That's. Probably not much of one.
Not much, no. I've got this one just being in the race, John.
Can I say, most people probably never heard of this jockey. This guy in Florida during non-championship meet time, I love him.
Jaramillo.
Yeah, that guy gets the lead. Talk about, he's like the Kendrick Carmouche of Gulfstream in the offseason. He gets the lead and finishes the
job. And he's been on this horse, so he knows it.
Yeah, I mean, having said that, I got no shot here. This horse isn't going to win it. Fierceness, our favorite.
So, kind of like what you said earlier, I think you said it, Fierceness and Forever Young, if all things level, you think that I agree. I think Fierceness is probably the best in terms of just overall talent that we've seen, maybe outside of Forever Young, that to be determined a little bit. But I do think we've seen examples of things he doesn't like. If he doesn't get his way, sometimes it seems like he maybe doesn't want to run. We've only seen that a couple times, but I'm going to play on that, John. I'm not playing him. I'm not playing him at all.
I don't. I mean, if a horse is 5-2 or better, that's tough in this race to even really get You're excited right. about. I love Johnny V. I love him.
I know, man.
That's the thing. It's like, I can't help but cheer for this horse. I'm one of the minority that loves Rapoli. I think the guy loves horse racing. He races his horses.
I love Rapoli.
He's not quick to go to breed. Like, the guy loves the sport. He's an obnoxious New Yorker, but I don't care. I like him. And I think he's a good dude that cares about the horses, whether, you know what I mean? Like, I there's just going to be people out there that don't like him because he's loud and obnoxious, but like, to me, it's not even like an offense. It's not an offensive obnoxious. No. Like, it's just a
he's a New York guy. He's passionate.
Exactly.
Like, but he cares.
He does. And like, I mean, that guy would rather race his quality horse than send it to the breeding shed right away.
Yes. Like, yes.
And I think there's a lot to be said about that.
I saw that he was getting flack yesterday for some horse that he sold back to somebody. Did you see all that?
No.
It was the Phipps stable or something, bought some horse back.
Yeah.
And they were like giving a hard time, like, well, you should have given the horse back. And I'm like, do y'all not understand he was going to continue to race the horse?
Right.
Like, he was going to race the horse. Yeah. He sold it back for those people to do whatever they wanted.
Right.
But he was not going to just stop. Like, he was going to run the horse.
Right. I like Todd Pletcher too. So, like, part of me, like, just from a fan of horse racing, I would kind of love to see Fierceness win it. From a betting perspective, though, it will be included in all my tickets. I know you're not going to, but I'm going to include it because I really do believe that the best version of this horse could get it done. I also don't think this horse is going to jump out and get the lead. I know that's, I think he's going to sit just off the pace And I think that's exactly where you want to be.
Yeah.
This horse isn't going to try to beat Drac Phantom or Dornock for the lead.
I agree.
You know, that's my thoughts. All right. Moving on to the 18 Stronghold. Thoughts?
All right. 18 is, this is my fourth horse. This horse has quickly come into my zone. So like,
what are your three so far?
So we, sorry. So no, you're good.
Oh, or if we've got,
so there. No, we, you're good. So we've got Just Steel, Just a Touch, Forever Young, and Stronghold. Gotcha. Okay. So those are my four. Yeah. So I don't really need to say that if I like the horse or not at this point, but here's my thoughts. We don't have to get into the weeds on this, but I've spent a lot of time the last 2 days thinking about what happens with Fierceness and Stronghold, because Stronghold has the ability, I think, to beat Fierceness out of the gate. Mm-hmm. I don't think Fierceness is expecting that. Fierceness is probably worried about the four or five immediately to his inside, clearing them. Right. If they send Stronghold, he has the ability to get out in front of Fierceness. I don't think they're going to send him. I think they're going to try to tuck him in with them. But it's one of those questions to me that if they send Stronghold, man, I don't, it kind of, it may get that race off in a start that I didn't expect with Fierceness, where he's got some things to consider there early on in the race that I don't think, that's all speculative.
Right.
But I like Stronghold for that reason. I think the horse has shown enough to say, you know, again, you don't necessarily like the post, but I would love to see them send him and put Fierceness in a spot that maybe they weren't expecting and see if he can get up there behind 1 and 12, but I don't know.
He runs a style of race that I think wins this race.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's why I like this horse so much. This horse has continued to improve each time out.
Mm-hmm.
Beat Baffert last time out. I think you just mentioned that. It's, I really like this horse.
And you know, I
don't think this horse is going to get bet very much.
I'm hoping not.
I don't think so, because here's the thing: outside of horse racing people, Frezu and D'Amato are not,
they're no bet, no names. They're no, they're names.
No names. And I really like this horse.
I'm with you, dude. That's why I mean that when I kept going back, I was like, man, you got to take domestic product out. Like you have to. If you're going to like create a top four, which is what I was trying to do. But
right.
I'm with you, John. The more and more as time's gone on, I just keep saying, hey. And then I think about that position with, you know, and that may never even play out that way. May never happen. But I keep thinking like, well, you're outside of Fierceness. And I don't think, I mean, look, those guys know.
Yeah.
They know who's on their outside.
Sure.
They're not idiots.
Right.
But there could be some gamesmanship there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think nobody's going to tell the jockey to do anything to take their horse out of the race right there.
Right. Right.
But they're, you know, those are things you got to consider when you got this many horses. And I don't know, but I like 18 a lot.
19, Resilience.
So we got Bill Mott here, man. And that's where it's hard for me. Resilience has not been one that I have really tracked. When it came on the scene at Fairgrounds, I don't think I really even considered, other than the fact that Johnny V was in there.
Right.
And then you've had one race since that was up at the Wood Memorial. You already know my thoughts on New York. I didn't even watch that race. So I don't want to say I've disrespected Resilience. I have a lot of respect for Bill Mott. I have no confidence that this horse is going to do anything to make me happy, so I'm not playing it.
I found it odd and telling that Johnny V left Keeneland to go up and ride this horse in New York for the Wood Memorial. I thought that was opening Saturday of Keeneland. And I thought, I think he only raced two or three times on that card.
On that card. So he was there for that horse.
Knowing also that he wasn't going to ride it in the Derby. So that kind of makes me think that there's probably something there. 104 is nothing to scoff at. Do I think this horse is going to win? No. I think Resilience, though, in July at Saratoga in another race is one that we're going to be like, hey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's one of those for me.
Yeah.
It's one of those that a couple months from now we're going to be like.
It's your Disarm.
Yeah.
That was exactly. For me last year. Yeah. I was like, Disarm's going to be good.
That's what I.
Never happened. I don't think Disarm got hurt.
Do you remember who was the horse? It was a Brad Cox last year. That Manny Franco rode in the Derby. Yeah, it's gonna it's going to kill me. We'll think of it. Hit Show. So Hit Show was one of those where I was just waiting for that horse to do its thing. Like it was a really quality horse. One, maybe got second in the Wood Memorial to Lord Miles.
Yeah.
But was Lord the favorite in the Wood Memorial. This screams that to me.
You know, another thing, and I think you and Clayton watched, because I know that you all were texting during it. It was an absolute just pour down up there, right?
There was a breakdown, but it was a fast track.
Okay.
Two years ago was is what pour. You're thinking. It okay. was, oh man, that I remember, talk about labored running. I mean, they looked like they were running in quicksand.
Like forever young in the,
exactly.
But still won.
Yeah. All right. And then the 20 horse society man, Frankie Dettori.
Yeah, you know, and ran in the Wood Memorial, obviously, race where you just got done talking about. But
it was 106-1 in the Wood Memorial.
It runs a 102. Yeah. Hadn't come close to that. Look, it will have to be sloppy for me to have this horse involved. If it's not sloppy, I'm not putting 20 in anywhere.
The only reason I'm like, why is Frankie Dettori riding this horse?
He's just his only mount, the only one that he could find?
I guess. But it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. Is Epic Ride in?
Epic Ride is in.
Yeah.
Good for Adam Bisciza.
Yeah. You like that guy, don't you?
I don't know that I like him. I just know that he's just like a local guy that you see at Keeneland.
Right.
And I think he's a solid individual. I think he's like just one of those guys that probably just doesn't need to travel.
He's been around a while.
I mean, yeah. Like me and Clayton talked about him. Like we were talking about like random Keeneland jockeys. And I said, Adam Bisciza. And he said, who?
Yeah.
And I said, it's one of those. Like,
yeah, right.
But good for him.
Yeah.
No, I don't have, you know, I mean, this is a speed horse, John. I
like this horse better than a lot of other ones, but I don't.
Bluegrass. You're good. You can, I'm already out. Decision made.
Already out on it.
So. Yeah, I just don't. Look, and I know some of these, it's like we didn't speak to a whole lot because you feel like, it's not to say disrespect them. It's just you don't feel like there's any chance that, and look, we've said that, and then Rich Strike happens, so. Yeah.
We'll go over it just quickly because Mugatu's not in the race yet. Could get in, I suppose, if there's a late scratch. Would have to happen probably. Will they let him in if it happens on Friday?
Yes.
Will they still do that?
Yes.
Okay. I like Epic Ride a hell of a lot better than I like Mugatu.
Yes. Dude, Mugatu, has 15 Derby points.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes. Like, John, the fact that the second also eligible has 15 Derby points is scary.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, with all that said, we've gone pretty long here. So, I apologize for if you were hoping to listen to this all in one commute to work. But give me a ticket real quick that you're kind of thinking of. It doesn't have to be precise, but just – kind of spitballing something you think you're going to do on Saturday.
All right. So I do not know the amount totals yet, but there will be win bets on Just a Touch, Forever Young, Stronghold. And I am going to place a win bet on Just Still. It'll be less than the other three. I'm going to play Exacta combination with all of them. Superfecta. Beyond that, John, I have not made any, I mean, that's a lot of money already, I guess. Right.
I'll probably play something horizontal leading up to that race, or leading up to this race. Obviously we're not going over the undercard today, but I'll just tell you right now, in my horizontal tickets, the horses that I will be including as horses that I think can win. So, I mean, like basically in a pick four, pick five, or whatever I end up doing, I'm going to put, Just a Touch. I'm going to put Forever Young. I'm going to put Domestic Product. I'm going to put Fierceness, and I'm going to put Stronghold. And Domestic Product, I know we just talked about, I don't think it can win, but those connections scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I'm just like,
I will have some coverage there. I don't know what it's going to look like. I cannot be as high as I was on that horse to just like, I would never.
I will tell you my top pick is going to be Forever Young for a magnitude of reasons. I really think that if this horse is anywhere around its morning line odds, it's an absolute steal. I'm hoping that it stays around 10 to 1. In the futures, it was like 11 or 12. So I'm like, it's not getting bet down, which makes me happy, quite frankly. I don't know what will happen race day. I'm hoping that Sierra Leone continues to take a ton of money. I know Fierceness will. I'm assuming Fierceness is the favorite. I'll probably play a couple different. Last year, I played like I did five tries, didn't hit any of them. I had all the horses that came in for second and third just not on the right ticket together. So I don't know. And for those tries, I will likely have Forever Young and Fierceness on top. From a win ticket perspective, Resilience and Forever Young. Those are the two that Stronghold and Forever Young. Those are going to be the two that I put win bets on because I think both those horses can win it, especially Forever Young. And I think the odds are going to be very much worth it. So
I like it.
Yeah. Quickly, Preakness Friday. I'm going to still bet Ways and, or excuse me, Oaks on Friday. I'm still going to bet Ways and Means. I do like just FYI. And what's the Tarifa is the other one that I think's probably got a pretty good shot. Tarifa's 8 to 1.
What about the McPeak horse?
Yeah.
A lot of chatter. That horse is taking
a ton of money right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was a morning line 5 to 1. And I saw in the futures today, it was the favorite at 5 and 2. So.
There has been a lot of steam about that.
Here's the thing is that makes me think because McPeak horses don't typically get like that much buzz.
No.
So something's going on there.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
I'm not saying anything shady.
Like, oh, no. You're saying, hey, there's probably legitimacy there's probably something to what we're seeing. You're right. Because McPeak doesn't take blind money.
No.
Never.
Or Brian Hernandez.
Never. Yeah. Never.
You're not seeing
no blind money's going there.
Right. So
that's a good point. John. Yeah. And I told you, he was very adamant a couple weeks ago and he was like, yeah, I got a monster.
Yeah.
She's a monster.
Yeah. So, like I said, odds wise, I'm going Ways and Means, assuming that the word got out about that workout and hopefully it's not as big a deal as, I don't know, but that McPeak horse, we got to watch out for it. I'll be interested to see at post time if that horse is still favorite. I think it'll end up being just FYI, but I think that horse might be right behind it. Watch those future pools, by the way, people, because you might, if you see early money going somewhere and then like public comes in and screws up the pools where like the original morning line favorite goes back to favoritism, you'll have a little bit of inside info on who the early people liked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So,
which is an important detail.
It really is.
In those, there's real money playing in those places. Right. It's not, you know,
it's kind of like the, when you're betting sports and I don't know if you've ever done this, but there's a website called scoresknots.com. And what it does is it shows the spread on whatever the game is. And it shows percentage bets and then percentage money. So like say the Celtics and the Heat are playing and 85% of the bets are on the Celtics, but 70% of the money's on the Heat. Then it means that the people that know something have put more money on. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's kind of a similar deal to these future pools where it's like, okay, well, people are acting on these things early for a reason. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, John, where do you see those? Tell people where you access that data.
On any of your ADWs.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're going to look, you're just looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can just, it was on mine today where I saw the Oaks futures and Derby futures. So.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I looked at it first because I'll be honest with you. I looked at it and thought, oh man, Ways and Means is already going to be 2 to 1.
2 to 1. I can't
manage. And then I looked at it and it was like 11 to 1. I was like, what happened?
Dude, this is a group of fillies that's going to be really fun, I think. Like, this feels like a pretty chalk group where.
I'll tell you, last year, I thought I had it figured out, man. So listen, this is very similar to my feelings about Ways and Means. I was like, wet paint's winning this race. I don't care what anybody says. She was one dirt closer that I believed in. I don't ever believe in any dirt closers, but she was the one. I was like, wet paint is going to win this race, and it's going to be a landslide. This horse is going to make all the rest of these horses look silly. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen at all. I don't think we've heard from that horse again.
I was going to say, I've seen Hoosier Filly. She popped up again last week somewhere. Was she? She was 3-1. She was 3-1 morning line, and I thought, man, I'll bet that.
I hated that. I loved that horse, and that we had a very love-hate relationship. Because that horse cost me several tickets because I just believed in it so much because it was an absolute workout machine and just never could get it done.
Well, let's put it this way. This group's, I hope, should be better. I think that anyway. We'll see. Time will tell, as they all do. But it feels like a pretty juggernaut group of fillies.
Yeah. So, well, any plans for the Derby?
No. I'm going to stay at home with the family. Going to do a family day. Good. And hopefully cash some tickets, man.
Well, the good thing going for me is I won't be at a bachelor party and just firing off tickets in a golf cart.
sitting on the eighth hole.
Yeah, sitting on the eighth hole waiting for everybody else to tee off. Seven
groups in front of you.
And just like, I was quick capping too, because the guy in the cart with me, our other buddy.
He was just talking to you about life.
He's just talking.
I know who was in your cart. Exactly. And I know, you didn't know. You
and he was just talking the whole time. Not one word about horse racing. He couldn't care less. So I'm listening to him at the same time I'm trying to bet these races. And so maybe that was part of my problem. But, you know, it is what it is. All right, folks. Well, we will be back next week to review. Hopefully, you guys have got it figured out. Please let us know at Pick3Pod on Twitter or Instagram who you like, who you don't like, why. If you win a bunch of money, let us know. If you lose a bunch of money, I'm sorry. I hope it's not too much. And we'll see you next week. The kid got a paper, like 40, don't save us. Bankhead, been pulling a caper.